Yo, fam. Today we're going to talk about contradiction and finding a sweet spot in recovery. Yesterday I had a really great phone call with a guy. He did a training online, and he's a part of an organization that helps military and combats the suicide rate for military. It's called SAW, Save a Warrior Program. And I knew about this program, and you know, the guy had a great story, so I asked him for a virtual coffee, and we ended up having just a ton in common. You know, we talked about a lot of their program is built around, it's a 4-day retreat. It is a number of activities targeted at breaking down one's story. And, you know, they use equine therapy, group therapy, ropes course, all kind of stuff. And it's a bunch of, you know, military and first responder guys. And the foundational principles are rooted in 12-step and a number of other variations of personal development. And so, yeah, we just had a ton in common. I've been going to ACA meetings. The ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholic and Dysfunction, is a foundational, a large part of that Red Book is a foundational principle of their program. You know, he mentioned Landmark, the Landmark Forum. That was probably one of the most transformative personal development weekends I've ever done. He did his in Chicago. I did mine in Philadelphia. He's got a, you know, strong background in direct sales. I did direct sales for a good chunk of time and very knowledgeable about it. But we had all these things in common. And this morning it just had me thinking about where I'm at in my own recovery. And I, for the last, this is, I guess, going on week two of getting up a bit early, you know, trying to get back into the routine that I used to have, which is getting up early, prayer, meditation, journaling, getting my mind right, instead of waking up late, feeling rushed, getting into the, you know, whatever work I'm doing. Also hopped up on coffee, which I love and hate because it's, you know, kind of anxiety inducing, even though I don't like the word anxiety. But but it was funny this morning is I get up early. Austin wakes up as well, and he wants to come sit with me under my arm, which is fine. I love doing that. But he doesn't sit still, and he wants to watch the show, and he's hungry, and now he's thirsty. And meanwhile, I'm over here trying to do this, you know, nice, beautiful meditation about the 11th step. And I just feel myself getting more and more and more annoyed. And I'm writing in my journal about being annoyed. And then I kind of snapped at him. And that's the equivalent. And this happens in the rooms of recovery where you hear someone and they'll be talking about how much they're struggling, how much they're struggling, how hard it is. And some people be feeling sorry for the person. But what they're really doing is they're telling everybody what they're about to do. They're telling everybody that they're about to relapse. They're telling everybody that they're about to fall back. And so that's kind of this exact thing that I was doing is I'm like trying to listen to this meditation and these, you know, nice music. And I'm writing about being annoyed. And all of a sudden, and I said, I feel like I'm about to boom. And I snap at Austin and get all, you know, annoyed with them. But it's just funny about the contradiction between that I constantly live in my life between this vast knowledge and understanding and experience in, you know, being emotionally sober, but yet not being emotionally sober. I think that's one thing that gentleman reminded me of. His name is Adam Carr with the Save a Warrior program. And he reminded me of this huge emphasis on emotional sobriety. And I think that's the, I feel like that's the ultimate goal that can be applied to everybody in our culture, not just people that struggle with drug addiction, alcoholism, or mental health. And it also kind of led me down a path where the contradiction in, I guess I rely heavily a lot of times on self-will to implement the knowledge that I have. Let me explain. So in 12 step, we talk about relying on a power greater than ourselves, understanding that left to our own devices, we cannot muster up enough strength and willpower to make change for long periods of time. In other words, willpower, a lot of people have great willpower, whether we're talking about diet, whether we're talking about exercise, whether we're talking about drugs and alcohol or particular behavior. You can use willpower to sustain you in a new behavior for sometimes a really long time. The problem with willpower is like a gas tank. It fills up. You're using it. It starts to get harder. It starts to get a bit more challenging. And then a lot of times you break, and often you run back to that thing which you've been abstaining from. Now, you know, if you're on a diet, you maybe rush to the donuts. If you're into working out, maybe you stop working out for a while, skip some days. If you're trying to abstain from something, you go back to it. The problem that arises when you use willpower alone to combat drugs and alcohol addiction is if you're allergic to it and you have the tendency, like for the normal person that maybe they're drinking a little bit too much and they want to cut back, or, you know, whatever the case may be, and they go have some drinks, it's not a big deal. But if you're a drug addict and alcoholic, which means you're virtually allergic to it, you know, to resort back, it can be a death sentence. I just had a good friend of ours, a friend of a friend, pass away. He went back after being sober for 6 months, and he eventually overdosed. And so it's just so dangerous. But even with years in recovery, I do the same thing. Like, I have this, I'm trying to, one of my favorite lines in the AA book is trying to wrestle joy and satisfaction out of life. Now that's paraphrasing. It doesn't sound as eloquent as it is in my head. But, you know, you look up the definition of wrestle, and it talks about pushing and pulling and struggling to get loose. And that's a lot of times what I find myself doing, because I don't want to put in the work, the daily militant-like work that is necessary for me to really be connected in the way I really want to be connected. And speaking with this guy, Adam, is it, you know, on one hand, I admire that military. He was a Green Beret for a number of years. This SAW program, Save a Warrior, they help a lot of military. He's military. He's quite serious. He's probably quite A-type, you know, organized, structure, high performing. And on one hand, I don't like being so serious. I admire that, because it's kind of opposite for me. I like to be quite loosey-goosey. However, I do like to operate in a structure, some sort of routine. And I often find myself, Sarah jokes quite a bit, is that I get so rigid about things. Like, it's either all or nothing. And it is true for me, is that I can't really kind of eat well, and I can't really kind of work out consistently, and I can't kind of, you know, meditate and do all this kind of stuff. And so in the time where I'm at in my life, like, I'm trying to find that balance. And I guess this journal entry help me see a little bit that I do crave the structure, yet I spend a lot of time within the structure rebelling against it. And oftentimes I'll do really well for a long time, and then I'll rebel against it. I'll start sleeping in like crazy. I'll start eating whatever I want. I'll quit working out. I'll quit praying and meditating. And before you know it, I'm not helping out around the house. Sarah and I are at each other's throat, and she's, you know, upset because I feel because I'm not participating, and I got an edge about me, which is true. You know, one of the things that I wrote this morning, which was kind of hit me a bit in the face, is, you know, oftentimes I feel cheated, like I'm missing out, and quite entitled to living a life being loosey-goosey. In other words, like, you know, I want to be able to eat whatever I want. I want to be able to not work out. I want to be able to sleep in. I don't want to have to work. I don't want to have to be accountable. But yet I want all the fruits of available for one that puts in the work, for the labor, right? I want all the fruits of labor without putting in the labor. And it's not that I haven't figured it out, because I have had long periods of time in my recovery where I was very diligent and very structured, and it didn't feel that way. But I resist so much because oftentimes I'm trying to force myself. I'm trying to wrestle joy and satisfaction out of life by forcing myself in some sort of rigid structure, for which I rebel against, don't want to do, and or begrudgingly do, and where I feel like I'm missing out. So what's the solution? What is it really boiled down to? Number one, the closer I am to my higher power, and the more I give life to my spiritual life, things are easier. I don't have to convince myself to do stuff. I don't have to force myself into a state of a rigid structure. I don't have to muster up the willpower to do it. When I rely on a power greater than myself, it naturally happens. And I don't feel like I'm missing out. I'm naturally not on edge. I'm naturally doing things that want to give life to myself, like working out and eating right, etc. And so the answer is typically the same as it was my, you know, early in my recovery, which is you give, you know, put more work and effort into my spiritual life, and the other stuff will help itself. Now, the other thing, which was I felt was quite attractive, is as much as that really high performer A-type personality that's very rigid and structured and serious, as much as I, it's not dislike, that's not accurate. As much as it seems so serious for me, you know, I could really benefit. And I do really benefit from being around and being influenced from people like that. I tell you, in my first couple of years of recovery, I mean, I'm talking at least the first 5 years, I probably loosened up when it got closer to between 5 and 10. But I mean, I was militant about my recovery. I went to meetings every single day. I sponsored people all the time. I prayed and meditated and journaled religiously. I mean, literally every single day without fail. And now, although I didn't have a kid, I wasn't married, I didn't have, you know, my life is very different now. But, you know, there is a massive value in that way of life, particularly and especially for those people early in recovery. You know, but it's, you know, one of the trappings of life experience is at least for me, is life experience gives you knowledge and understanding and experience, but that can be a trap because then you think you know it. And by you, I mean me. I think I know what to do and know what to say. I think I can kind of coast and still get the benefits. And you know, I feel like I'm turning a bit of a corner. I don't know where what's around the corner, but you know, these are just a couple of really great things that that have come up for me just based off that conversation and even being open after doing a little bit of work over the last couple of weeks. And and I think that I'm definitely craving that lost connection. I'm craving this sense of ease and comfort that I oftentimes am chasing when I veg out watching Netflix, or I try to sleep in, or I, you know, indulge in some areas. Or what I'm trying to do is I'm chasing that ease and comfort that I used to get from drugs and alcohol, And that behavior is just as, can be just as destructive, even with the use of drugs and alcohol, destructive to relationships, your work life, your, you know, family life, etc. And so, anyway, I just wanted to share that. It was an interesting morning and an interesting couple of days. And if you know someone that could benefit from maybe hearing something like this, or you find value, don't forget to tell your friends about this podcast. And also, if you haven't subscribed on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast, go ahead and subscribe, just so you get the notifications when I put out a new podcast. And give us a like. Holler at your boy.